I want to welcome you to this event. Just an opportunity for us to stop and to consider some things that we might learn about leadership. Leadership, the possibility of us to invest in others. The chance for us to inspire others to do more, be more than where they are today. When we think about leadership, we're really starting to stop and think about relationships. We all have a lot of things that we do when we go to our job and we have responsibilities and roles and tasks that we work at day to day. And those are important. But perhaps we need to step back and think about it from a little different perspective. The perspective that really what's important is us to invest in the lives of others. The opportunity for us to really learn how we can impact others to grow and improve. When we stop and we think about this leadership, you may say, I'm not really comfortable with this term leadership, but maybe for you to be a coach is something that you would be happy to say, that I'm a coach, I can do that. Maybe you say, Evan, I've seen you coach for 9 years, you're a maniac on the sideline, I could never yell, scream, do anything like that, so coaching is not anything I'm comfortable with. But maybe for you, it's just, I could be a model. I could just walk alongside people, I could encourage them, and I can show that I care. And whether you say, I'm a leader, I'm a coach, I'm a model, the reality is that you're showing leadership. And so you have to do whatever fits for you. And that's where we're at. So what we talk about today can potentially change your perspective on work. It can move it from being task-oriented to changing your view to where I'm going into work and I'm going to invest in someone today. I'm going to encourage someone. And this enhanced perspective can include influencing and motivating and encouraging those that you work with. You still have to get the job done. You still have to create that spreadsheet. You still have to do these things that are important to your boss. But if we look at work from a different perspective, it may make work a little more meaningful. So we're going to talk about three different principles that I think are kind of building blocks for us to be effective in leadership. And we're going to begin by talking about our attitude. Our attitude is the perspective that we're taking when we're going into our workplace. How am I going to view today? It's interesting that many people, when I hear them come into work, they're making some rather negative comments. And then surprise, surprise, they kind of have a self-fulfilling prophecy as the day plays out. Because they've already set their attitude of, I'm just going to get through this day. This is going to be a grueling day. I'm not looking forward to today. But maybe if the attitude was different as they begin the day, they would be able to have a happier, more successful day because they would have new opportunities. You're still going to be at work, so you might as well have fun while you're there. So when we talk about this attitude, it's the difference between goodness and greatness. It's the difference between the mature and the immature. It's the difference between being able to persevere and giving up. You control this. And indeed, the leader has the responsibility to inspire hope and an optimistic attitude. So the attitude is really important. When we talk about effective leadership, we need to model this attitude. And that's really critical. We also need to recognize that this is hard. To be the leader, the consistent leader, it's going to be an effort. You're going to have to be intentional. So whenever we're dealing with challenges, we have to step back and evaluate what's our resources. What can we do to be successful in this? And the first resource that we have to recognize as believers is that we have the best resource you could possibly have in God. He's the keeper of all wisdom. And so make sure that you're taking the time to ask him for help as you're starting through your day. When you begin to think about this, then you start getting that support that you need through prayer and through the consideration of how I can have this attitude. It's also important that this attitude is one where we are positive and we're communicating that to those that we work with. We have to believe that a challenge is nothing more than an opportunity for growth. And we have to be consistent as we're working with our teams in communicating this message. If we allow ourselves to participate in negative comments, negative conversations, and gossip, you are punching a hole in your bucket of leadership, and you're going to leak all over the place. And those that you're trying to influence and support and encourage, they're not going to listen because you've already shown them your weakness. So leadership is key, that you focus on this attitude and you focus on remaining positive with the team and you communicate the opportunities that are present. The other thing we want to talk about here is focusing on how could we be more grateful? How can we impact our attitude? So last year in 2016, I completed a program called the Executive Leadership Coaching Program. It's kind of like a mini MBA. It was the hardest thing I ever did. I read more books than I have ever read in my life. I read hundreds of articles. I completed reports on every one of those articles. And I had to do these things called experiential learning activities. Some of these things were easier than others. Some proved to be very hard. Let me share about this attitude executive or this experiential learning that I had to do. It was very simple when I was first given it. Evan, you're going to have a gratitude journal, and every day you're going to write down 5 things that you're grateful for. Oh, by the way, you can never repeat what you're grateful for. Week 1, boom, no problem. That was easy. Week 2, wow, this isn't hard. Maybe my coach doesn't know how easy this is. Maybe I should tell him. But maybe I won't, because he's given me all these hard things, so maybe this is my gift. This is the one thing that I can do that's really easy. Then week 3 hit. And in week 3, all those things that I had been grateful for, my family, my friends, the different relationships I'd had, the things that I was grateful for, food, shelter, I'd already used them. And all of a sudden, something started to happen. Because now I had to start being intentional in looking for things to be grateful for. I started noticing things I'd never noticed before. The beauty of the clouds, that someone had cut the grass outside the window of my office, that there was a tree out there that I didn't even know existed. I was looking for things, and all of a sudden it hit me. What's just happened? My attitude has just changed. Because now all of a sudden, I'm being intentional in trying to have a great attitude because I'm focusing on being grateful. So maybe the thing that you can take away for the way to improve your attitude is to consider on keeping a gratitude journal. It will be a challenge to you, and it will be something that I think will have a great impact on influencing how you impact others. You see, anyone can be negative and anyone can assign blame, but wise is the leader who is positive and takes responsibility. This is the attitude that God blesses. He dispenses more opportunity to the one whose attitude is aligned with His. This agenda that we have, the attitude that God honors, is one that is humble, unselfish, and hopeful in Him. Attitudes are really important. Sometimes, though, the attitude that we have, even though it may be great, isn't noticed as much by some. But what will be noticed is our actions. And these actions, they speak volumes. And when we start talking about this action, it's like that we're living life in front of people and they're really noticing. If we say one thing and do another, we're dishonest with ourselves and others. Actions are a barometer of our character. If we're inconsistent in our actions, we confuse the team. Consistent actions facilitate faithful followers. When we think about this, we need to recognize a few things that are absolutely true. Leaders are watched constantly. You have to realize the importance of consistency as you try to lead the team. You have to understand that these behaviors that you're exhibiting, they're validating your beliefs. And these actions, they're defining our integrity. It's all blending together, and it's very powerful. And it is our actions, not our titles, that will earn us the right to influence others on our team. It's our actions, not our titles, that will earn us the right to influence others. So think about that. We have to be consistent, and we have to show that we're willing to do this. So how we arrive at our definitions of actions is important. The greater context of our work expectations are based upon God's Word. The Bible is the basis for our behavior, and respectful behavior is illustrated when we have collaborative discussions, when we include others in our execution and our strategies. Wise actions then become a pattern of an effective and an efficient culture. Wise actions align through our follow-through, and we do what we say and we say what we do. Wise actions also consistently solicit feedback from those on our team. We rely on the wisdom of the team over our own perspective. You see, the Bible is defining our right actions. So while everyone on our team may not believe in Jesus, if we are an effective leader, they all agree to act like Jesus in the workplace. It's modeling in action. And this is where it gets really powerful as we are effective in our leadership. I'm honored right now to introduce Dr. John Brooks, president of Focus International, a friend of mine for over 30 years, an individual who influenced me, who gave of his time and invested in me when I needed it most. And John's going to come up, and he's going to take this modeling conversation and expand on it a little bit more. So, John.
Thank you, Evan. Here we go. There are two passages of Scripture that have really had tremendous influence in my life. One is 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And he was calling people to follow Christ, but they didn't have Christ directly in front of them. They had Paul directly in front of them. And then Luke 6:40 is really a powerful, powerful verse. It says, "No student is above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully taught, will be like his teacher." So even though the truth of these passages is that leadership is more about who I am than what I say, it's both intentional and unintentional. As leaders, we see the needs of those we lead and train to meet those needs in very special ways. The primary way is by modeling what we want to see reproduced in the lives of others. It's important that we understand that, as Evan said, we are always, always leading. Always. Whether we're aware of it or not, people are watching us. Our children watch how we treat our spouse. A store manager watches how we interact with a clerk, or they may hear about it after the fact, and then we become a case study for them training their clerks to deal with difficult customers. Our friends watch how we treat our children, but we're all leaders in some capacity, whether at work or at home, whether positional or earned, whether good or bad. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, the perfect leader, he is our model. So the Apostle Paul understood this when he wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And Luke just said it a different way. Nobody is above their teacher. No student's above his teacher. But everyone, when he's fully taught, is going to be like his teacher. He didn't say everyone, when he's fully taught, will know what his teacher knows. He said everyone, when he's fully taught, will be like his teacher. It's more than knowing what they know. We really will become like them, the people we hang around, the people that we're with. So the verse speaks to the responsibility of the student for sure, but there is significant implication for us as leaders. Who we are is as important, and maybe more important, than what we say. What's in a training manual is going to reach another training manual. What's in a notebook is going to reach another notebook. But what's in life reaches another life. So as leaders, we're responsible to train others. Those who report to us at work, those who look up to us, our children, our wives, we're responsible. I want to tell you a couple of stories, if you'll allow me to do that, and then we're going to have a panel here in just a minute. So last week I was at a conference in Texas. I was meeting with some men and women who work with university students, and I was asking for input from a group of about 15 of these men and women. And one of the men in the group was a man I've known for a long time. I've not had close interaction with him. I've not really had opportunity to speak into his life, but we've been in lots of meetings together, and so I've known him. And he's now in a leadership role that's going to provide more opportunity for me to have input into his life if he indeed allows that. We were talking about some issues that students were facing as they worked cross-culturally in very difficult situations overseas. Many of the students that we've been training have been serving in places where things are more and more dangerous. And so I was asking this group of men and women about making some changes in some of the kind of training that we do. I wanted some input from them. Here's some things that I'm thinking. Am I on the right track? What do you think? And so after I finished, Shane looked up and said, John, I've known you for a long time. I've watched you, and I just want to say to you that I completely trust you. Whatever you need me to do, I'm all in. I thought, I really haven't had many conversations with him, and the ones I've had have been pretty superficial. Now, lest you think, and I'm sure none of you do because most of you don't know me, but lest you think I have things together, let me tell you another story, another event. I was leaving the Y, and I was pulling out of the parking lot, I was going to be turning left against traffic. There was a car in front of me, and there was traffic that was coming. Most all of it was turning into the parking lot. Being the very patient man that I am, I couldn't figure out why the car in front of me wasn't going anywhere. They just sat and sat and sat, and I thought, now, I am not going to honk. I'm just committed. I am not going to honk. And so after what seemed like eternity, I'm sure it wasn't that long, I caught the eye of the driver in the car in front of me. He looked up in his rearview mirror, and I could see he was looking at me, and I just went. That's not the end of the story. Jim Lewis, do you remember this story? Yeah. So next Sunday at church, Jim and Patty Lewis came up to me and went. You see, they were turning into the parking lot as I was trying to turn out. And at the exact moment, they saw it. Men and women, we are always, always, always leading. There's never a time that we're not on display. So we have to determine in our heart the kind of leader that we're going to be. It's who you are that's going to make a difference in your leadership. It's the example of your life that's going to cause you to gain or lose trust. It's the example of our lives as Christians that give us the ability to help others follow the example of Christ, whether they know it or not. So the most powerful example of leadership is not what we say, but it's who we are. Will we be a leader that calls men and women to follow us as we follow Christ? Will we be men and women who determine and realize that none of us is above the one who teaches us? But those who respect us, those who follow us, will be like us. For those of us who have children, grandchildren, any of you see yourself reproduced in them, in the way they act, what they say, what they do? I'd like to ask our panel to come up, if they would.
Not quite yet.
Not yet? Okay. I'm not in charge.
And feel free to take all my notes. So.
Well, you left them. I thought they were for me. Which ones are yours?
All right. So we've talked about these attitudes and we've talked about our actions, but we do have to talk about our words, because really we talk a lot. And as we talk, we have to be careful to understand that what we say, it does impact people. And we need to make sure that we're really being careful about what we say. These words have the ability of either building people up or tearing them down, that they can be encouraging or they can be poisonous. Your words can inject courage into your colleagues if they're truthful and kind and caring. Measure your words carefully. Make sure that you're thinking before you speak. Do not allow anger or harshness to dominate your delivery, because it will impact what is being heard. Use your words as an ointment rather than an irritant. Speak wisely and with a spirit of compassion. When we think about our words, we know that we're modeling this personal responsibility in how we speak. So here's a couple of takeaways, some challenges I bring to you, even in the way that you ask questions. One of the things that I'd like for you to be challenged about and to consider is that begin your questions with what or how. What can I do to help? How can I support you? Not why, when, or who. Why did management make that decision? When is training ever going to provide the appropriate training that we need? Whose job is this anyway? Who's supposed to do this? See the difference in the words? Think about making it a practice of using your questions beginning with what or how. Use ownership. Make sure as much as you can when you're doing statements of commitment that you're using I, not they, we, or you. Your statement should center upon action. Your words are very important. There are also some words that we need to focus on eliminating, and this is hard. One of these experiential activities, the first one was that I had to eliminate the word I know. I know is a statement that we need to be very careful in not using. It deteriorates trust. Think about it. Individual comes in. They want to have a meeting with you. They sit down across the desk. They begin to tell you about their great idea, how this could be an efficient way to do business. And you listen to them for about 45 seconds, knowing that you've been working on this for 3 months in different strategic sessions. You can't take it anymore. And you say, I know. What have you just done? You've just completely cut them down. You've said I'm more important than they are. I know more than you do. Don't do that. Just let them talk. Let them give you their ideas. Who knows? Even though the basic concept they may be talking about is something that you are working on, they may have one little element in there that you can learn from. Allow them to speak. The other thing that I want to challenge you on is one of the most overused words in the English language, and it's the word busy. Hey, Doug, how you doing? Busy. Busy week. Busy, 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 busy. Hey, Evan, what are you working on today? Oh, man, am I busy. What have I just communicated? I've communicated some things that you didn't really mean to, but the staff may be hearing things like, I think that I'm more important than you are. What I'm working on, you certainly wouldn't understand. I really don't have time for you. Now, here's the challenge. If you were to take this as an experiential activity of something that you're supposed to do 7 times in this next week, of when you consciously eliminated the use of the word busy, you're going to be challenged, because what you're going to find is it comes natural. So you have to intentionally think about, when you're walking down the hall at work, what would I answer if someone said, "What are you working on today? How's your day going?" Come up with a statement that provides an open and authentic conversation with whoever's asking you that question. It's a little thing, but it can expand the relationships that you have significantly. So when we talk about leadership, this is a journey that we all should be on. And just as we discussed, leadership is our ability and our opportunity to model Jesus. So we've talked about our attitudes, and we've talked about our actions, and we've talked about our words. So we're going to take just a moment and talk about some stages of leadership. This is a model that I utilize quite a bit. And I really believe that everyone's in 1 of 3 stages. I'm a leader of me, I'm a leader of we, and I'm a leader of culture, depending upon where you're at. If maybe you're beginning in your professional career, then you're going to focus on being a leader of me right now. And in that leader of me, you're going to be the subject matter expert in the job that you've been assigned to. You're going to have focus, and you're going to learn all the job knowledge that you know, that you need to know. You're going to be the one who takes responsibility to be on time to work and every appointment that you're supposed to be at. You are focusing on yourself as you begin this process. And that's a stage 1 leader. A stage 2 leader is one that starts to organically flow out. As you've been there for a while, your focus starts to change just a little bit. In a stage 2, you're starting to be an intentional encourager of others and the team. You're intentionally looking for ways that you can support a teammate. And by the way, it'll also happen the other way. Rob, how in the world did you do that spreadsheet? How did you get that done? Ron, how did you make that sale? I don't know how you did that. I need to know how to do that. And you have an opportunity through a natural process where you get to start sharing with those that are all around you. And now you get the chance to start impacting and encouraging and motivating and inspiring even the person sitting in the seat next to you. And then in different stages, you might become a leader of culture. And the leader of culture is really a stage maker. Your responsibility now, yeah, you have day-to-day tasks that you need to do, but you also have to now be focused on creating environments for others to be successful. And in these environments that you're creating, you need to make sure you're providing all the resources they need to know how to do their job, for how to expand. You need to consciously empower employees to grow and mature. Leader of me, leader of we, and leader of culture. Kind of 3 stages of leadership. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. But that's where you are today. And now you start growing wherever you're planted today. And that's your opportunity. The last thing we're going to cover is some powerful P's of coaching. There's 5 P's of coaching that I want to touch on with you. The first one we're going to talk about is being present. And this doesn't mean present in the building. It means that you're actually talking to people, that you are spending time trying to get to know people. You're focusing on eye contact when you're having conversations. You are focusing on intent listening as you're in meetings. You are present and you are fully engaged. The next area we want to talk about is asking permission. This is a challenging one and one that's very important. Terry and I are having a conversation, and Terry says of a challenge that he's going through, and wow, I had that same thing last year. And I have an idea that might help him. So I could just say, "Terry, here's what you need to do." But I think it'd be a lot better if you said, "Terry, you know what you've went through? I have an idea. Would you mind if I shared?" Terry gives me the permission, and now I can say the very same words. But how is it received? Now it's received as a gift instead of me being arrogant and prideful and a know-it-all. It's a little detail, but it can make a big difference in how you coach someone. The next thing, if you're going to be a coach, you need to be patient. You need to recognize that there are going to be challenges. The individual that you're working with, they're going to make errors, and that's fine. Encourage them. Talk about the next times, how you can do it better next time, another approach that they might take. Be professional and be prepared. If you're going to take the privilege of being able to be a coach to someone, then accept the responsibility that goes along with that. Think about ways that you can encourage and motivate and inspire and make sure that you're making the very best of every opportunity. And the last thing I want to talk about is focusing on purity. If you're going to be a coach, there's no agenda. You are simply there to deliver your messages with humility and kindness and compassion, empathy, sensitivity, and understanding, creating respect for the individual while you're being patient and showing forgiveness. Leadership is a very difficult skill to master. And as a matter of fact, I'm not sure we ever do fully master it. But you know, it's important. I've been to a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a spreadsheet and graph shown on how you increase sales. And I've never seen a graph shown on how Evan was impactful in efficiency in the organization. But I've been to a whole bunch of funerals in which they said, you know what? This individual impacted the lives of others. He cared. He invested. He encouraged. That's why leadership is worth your time. And that's why I'm so glad that you are here today. I hope that there was something out of this message that brought inspiration to you and maybe something that you can apply in your life.